Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath, and a woman was there who for 18 years had been crippled by a spirit. She was bent over, incapable of standing erect. When Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, "Woman, you are set free of your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and she stood up at once straight and glorified God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant that she secured on the Sabbath, said to the crowd in reply, "There are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord said to him in reply, "Hypocrites! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it out for watering? This daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, ought she not have been set free on the Sabbath from her bondage?" When he had said this, all his adversaries were humiliated, and the whole crowd rejoiced at all the splendid deeds done by him. The Gospel of the Lord. Whenever we get Psalm 1, the church is going to have us focus on the two ways that we can live, either in a fruitful, life-giving way or in a sterile, dead way. And we see that at work in all three of the readings that the church gives us today. First reading, St. Paul is summarizing the moral consequences of who God is and his work in the world by simply saying, "Be imitators of God as beloved children." St. Cyril of Alexandria in the early church said about Christians, "Christians are the ones who imitate God." Now, there are many things we're not going to be able to imitate God in, obviously. We're not going to create out of nothing a whole universe. But there are many things in which we can behave like God as beloved children. And St. Paul lists them here. Be kind to one another. That krestos means really go out of your way for another. Treat the other just as you would treat yourself. Compassionate, merciful. God is loving us always with his mercy, and so therefore we should give others 70 times 7 chances, forgiving them as God has forgiven us in Christ. That "as" is really important. Christ didn't just come into the world to say you're forgiven. Christ came into the world to die, to take away our sins. And so our forgiveness of others ain't going to be cheap. There's going to be some death, at least to the old Adam in us, so that the new Adam can truly rise. But we have to be prepared for the suffering that's involved in forgiveness, and not because of the suffering stop forgiving, but to go on just as Christ kept getting up on the road to Calvary. Live in love. Because to live in love is to live in God, St. Paul would say elsewhere. As Christ loved us and handed himself over as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. His sacrifice was the summation of all the holocaust in the temple. But because dead animals stunk, and the burning of so much blood didn't make it smell like burned chicken, That was one of the reasons why you would always have a priest assigned on a given day to burn incense there, to change the smell. When we're talking about Christ's sacrifice, the love with which he made it became that fragrant aroma, rising up to God as a pleasing prayer. In the same way, the love we put into our actions, God's olfactory senses perceive. Be thankful, says a little bit later, and live as children of light. All of these are explicitations of what it means to live in imitation of God as his beloved children. They were full of gratitude for all the Father's gifts, but particularly the forgiveness in Christ. And we live as children of the light. We live in God. We reflect what he has taught us and the passion with which he has loved us. That's the way we're called to live, imitating God. But St. Paul describes in his letter to the Ephesians that there are many who do not live this way. Immorality and any impurity or greed must not even be mentioned among you, because there was a lot of immorality, impurity, and greed. The whole temple of Aphrodite there in Ephesus featured all three of these vices on a scale of 100. He also gets to the root of those types of abominations. He says, no obscenity or silly or subjective talk should be among you. So often, the problems begin with little things, even silly or suggestive talk. When Commissioner Bratton was police commissioner here, he solved the violent crime problem by what he called the broken windows strategy, which he fixed broken windows, he repaired graffiti, he stopped hoodlums from selling ripped off stereo systems on sidewalks, because he recognized if there was little tolerance for small crime, then people will recognize a different culture and there'll be far less violent crime. Mayor de Blasio is, of course, totally different in his insanity. And he says, same thing with Governor Cuomo up there in Albany, that unless you actually do physical violence to somebody, you will be let out in an hour, which is what happened back here with the violence against the stores. As long as somebody wasn't injured, even if they burned down the buildings, they were out in an hour. And hence, violence metastasizes. Same thing in the moral life. We're either going to go with resolution at imperfections and venial sins. And if we do, then we'll live very virtuously. But if we take those things softly, all hell will break loose. That's the great insight of St. Teresa of Avila, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. That great violence had been done to her soul because she didn't fight against venial sin. And it was only when she started to go after the suggestive talk, for example, which was part of her life in the parlor all day, more than even in the chapel, meeting all her guests and friends and family members, that's what was impeding her path to perfection. Instead of obscenity or silly or suggestive talk, we're supposed to fill it with thanksgiving. Then he talks about this, that no immoral or impure or greedy person, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. That's not a punishment. It's a diagnosis. That if we're seeking these things, we're absolutely not seeking the kingdom. Jesus in the Gospel illustrates these two paths anew. First, that there was this crippled woman for 18 years. She couldn't look up, which was not only a medical issue, but also a metaphorical one. She couldn't look up even toward God and what that symbolized. Yet, she still had real faith in God. And she came to him on the Sabbath. And that's where Jesus met her. When he saw her, he went back to creation, into the new creation at the Annunciation, and used evocative. Woman, be set free of your infirmity. I think one of the reasons why he said it was not just because he couldn't have asked or figured out her name, but he was in a particular way treating her as he would his own mother, with infinite love, not waiting to work a miracle or sending her on her way and letting the miracle happen later. He loved her with a certain urgency. He laid his hands on her, that sacred touch, and at once she stood up straight and began to glorify God. Jesus wishes to do that to each of us, whatever keeps us looking downward, looking at what we don't like about ourselves or perhaps even despise about ourselves. Whatever is earthly and worldly, the Lord wants to cure us of that infirmity. He wants to reach out, especially when we seek to come to worship Him. We have that entire expression for a reason, sursum corda. Lift up your hearts. God wants constantly to help us to be lifted up. That's why the Lord is with us. So that, as St. Paul encouraged the early church, we might be able thereby to glorify God and give Him thanks and praise always and everywhere is our duty and our salvation. But this incredible act of mercy was resented and rejected by the leader of the synagogue, the one who was supposed to be there helping to bring people to God. Outraged, he said to the entire crowd, "There are 6 days when work can be done. Choose one of them. Don't be cured on the Sabbath." As if God wanted to prevent acts of charity on the Lord's Day. It is so ridiculous how upside down it had become, but that's just a fact. And Jesus exposed it. They'd care for their animals on the Sabbath. Can't they care for their fellow human beings? If we're all sons and daughters of the same Father, we're talking about our brothers and sisters. And can't that lead us to compassion? All those who were outraged were humiliated. But those in the crowd who hadn't been so corrupted rejoiced at all the splendid deeds done by Jesus. There are two ways. There's to follow the counsel of the wicked and walk in the way of sinners. And there's the one that delights in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. One is like chaff. The other is like a tree planted near running water, bearing fruit in every season. Today, the same Jesus who was in that synagogue comes here to cure us, to help us to lift up our hearts and our heads and our whole lives to Him. And He feeds us with Himself, to help us from the inside to imitate God the Father as the Father's beloved children.